On FM, on DAB, and up to date on social media. We are Radio Newark. Radio Newark Sport. Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants. For all your fencing, decking, and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
So as a special Christmas treat, we decided to invite our lovely charity ladies back. Well, Sarah's here. Catherine may be here. And Kaz has defected for pastures new. But what a replacement for Kaz. I'm got to say it. Coming over from the dark side, our charity girl now at the Children's Bereavement Centre is none other than Rachel Wilson, and she's making her debut tonight on Radio Newark Sport, and she's come specially dressed for the occasion, and yes, I will take a photo and put it on Facebook a bit later on. We have a naughty elf with us, no less, and that's not Tony. Dave Forge is going to join us and talk all about Notfast, what they've been up to in 2018 with all those facts and figures. First, though, it's the headlines. And even that's a special one tonight because Tony's got some breaking news. Newark Lawn Tennis Club's last outing before Christmas brought success for the mixed second team, and as they put in a solid performance against Lady Bay. The first pairing of Sam Butler and Katie Dines won 26-10, while Andy Colt and Lynn Hare also came out on top. Third pairing of Dave Stewart and Jill Pinder made a draw. All in all, that was enough for a 68-40 victory. The ladies' final match of the 2018 campaign was cancelled due to poor court conditions. So they all went to the pub and can look forward now to 2019. The Grove Squash Club's captain Chris Gibbons returned from injury, and that's coincided with two victories for the first team as they have climbed into mid-table in their first season in Notts Division 1. But, Mr. Smith, it's all about the Notts Senior Cup fourth round draw, and you have got it for us.
Yes, it is made live tonight on Notts TV, and there are seven other ties, but of course there's only one important one.
In order, please.
Oh, in order. Well, it's very nicely drawn out of the Notts Senior Trophy itself, which I thought was a nice touch.
And what, by Stapleford's chairman and captain?
No, unfortunately the Stapleford chairman couldn't make it tonight. And so it was the Baseford United chairman.
Nice man, Chris Munro.
Chris Munro.
Nice man.
Chairman of the Holders. Mm. And Vic Hume from Gedling Miners Welfare, who was a very nice host on Saturday.
Come on then, let's have the draw.
Kimberley Miners Welfare have been drawn at home to last season's finalist Dunkirk. AFC Mansfield against Tevisel. Eastwood Community, who staged the final last season, they're at home to the Holders, Baseford United. Newark Flowserve are at home to Carlton Town. Ollerton Town versus Radford. Hucknall Town versus Clipston. Selston FC versus Retford United. And finally, Clifton Allwhites versus Gedling Miners Welfare.
Standout tie in all that one.
Obviously, Flowserve.
To me, is probably AFC Mansfield and Tevisel, because apart from nothing else, it's a local derby.
It was described as a local derby on the television, but it is the Notts Cup, so I assume they're all from Nottingham.
Yeah, but this is a very local.
Oh, right.
So that's a cracking game. Retford United? Retford
United.
Going to Selston, that will... Mind you, they dispatched Southwell, didn't they? So
yeah,
and but that I think that will be a toughie. But the one that we're all looking at, of course, is what looks like going to be an absolute cracker and a test, the biggest test of the season so far for Flowserve.
I would think so, but then again, Carlton Town are in the bottom four of the Notts.
Five, I've looked.
No, the 19th out of 22, bottom four.
And see the table later. Carry on.
You can't go by a table. I'm doing stats here. And they are bottom four of Notts Premier League Division 1 East. So, they're coming to Fortress Lowfields and will be treated accordingly.
They've won five games this season. Four of those have been away from home. I don't want to put a damper on it because it's an absolutely cracking tie, but it ain't going to be easy for Flowserve. There's two divisions between the two.
But as a wise man once said, it's there's never an easy tie at this stage, Mick.
Have we got a date?
What?
For the match.
Is that your idea of foreplay? No, basically, we haven't got a date as yet, but they may well have given a date, but by that time I couldn't stand any more of Knox TV. They make us look good.
I would suggest we're probably looking early January, middle of January.
Yeah, we've got the...
You can't go late, because we've already got the Renneth tie.
Yeah, we've got the Renneth tie on the 29th of January in the League Cup quarter-final. So I would imagine it would have to be played by the end of January. So it's probably mid-month, I would think.
So it's at home, and that's what anybody wants in a cup competition. So
unless you have to write the programme, yes.
Oh, my heart bleeds.
I was praying for a away tie. What do you mean?
A cracking tie, and we look forward to that. Right, Bowman Towers, Mind, and the Children's Bereavement Centre, where the Newark Half Marathon's chosen charities, and we spoke to them in the summer. We now need to find out if it was a successful day for them, but an awful lot has happened since the summer. Beginning with Kaz departing before she could do the Bananarama routine. I wonder if that's what made her move on to Pastures New, actually, the prospect of doing a Bananarama thing. And
there is a pattern for me. And
from what I understand, it is when they did the interviews to replace her, nobody even mentioned Bananarama. So, but this is the shock that the young ladies had tonight. Replacing Kaz at the Children's Bereavement Centre, it is a face that's well known to everybody in Newark. From her time in at the advertiser, Rachel Wilson. And I never actually thought I would ever say this, but Rachel, welcome to Radio Newark Sport.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
First things first, time for a change, or why a change? Because it is a, you know, there's many jobs that I don't think I could ever do. That the one that you've gone into is possibly one that I'm not sure I could ever get my head around. A change of, complete change of direction for you.
Absolutely, yes. I mean, obviously, I know it's a huge responsibility. The Children's Bereavement Centre is a very well-known charity in Newark, and we offer our services right across Nottinghamshire. So it's a challenge, though, that I'm looking forward to in terms of raising the funds that the charity needs to continue to deliver the services that are so important to the people that we help each and every day. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I've spent a couple, I think I've been there about 8 weeks now, so very early on in my career at the Children's Bereavement Centre, but everyone's been very welcoming, and it's been a really busy few weeks on the run-up to Christmas, that's for sure.
Are you enjoying it?
I absolutely love it.
You're enjoying it, because it's... Had the time come for a change?
Yes, it was just a change, and this was an opportunity that I saw, and one that I wanted to get involved with. I love Newark. I was born here, went to school here. I love this community, and I wanted to do something that I felt I'd be giving a little bit of something back.
I mean, the main thing for the rest of us is you've not been lost to Newark, and that would have been a massive loss, and we've still got you in Newark and working on behalf of Newark, and we're very thankful of that. So,
thank you very much.
You're on a sports show, something that you never ever thought you'd appear on.
Absolutely not, no.
So,
same here.
Rachel's sporting career.
Yes, you could cover it quite quickly, I have to say. I did, in my younger days, spend some time doing karate. Did get to black belt, actually, with Newark Shotokan Karate Club, but that was many, many years ago. I do understand that my predecessor, Kaz, was... quite fit and enjoyed things like 5Ks and half marathons. That is most definitely not my forte. So, yes, sporting really is not my thing. Should do a little bit more of it, really, to be honest. So,
I've got to come back to a story I heard last night, and we'll do it a little bit later on. But for somebody who doesn't want to sort of run 10K, for what I understand that 2019 is going to bring, not only you, but our breakfast show presenter as well, I'm absolutely amazed, but people have to wait for that one, because with a little bit of luck, we might get Sarah involved in this as well. Sarah, just there should have been three. There is two, and there is a very good reason Catherine's not here.
Well, knowing Catherine, she'll probably barge in at any moment, actually. No, she's had a bit of a family crisis this evening, unfortunately. I know she would have liked to have been here to obviously talk about Beaumont House, because they are massively busy all the time, but particularly at Christmas time. So we've lost our third arm, Catherine, but I'm sure Rachel and I will make up for it.
I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Sure it'll be absolutely fine.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. There's just a 10-minute slot at 7:40 when you're just going to have to sing or do something.
We'll fill it, or whatever.
No one told me about the Bananarama thing, actually. This is all news to me.
You see, and you thought Catherine was your friend, didn't you?
I did indeed, so I'll be having words.
How sport is entwined with our charities, and people say to me, well, you know, why have you got these people in? Well, if you look back at 2018, we started the year mourning the loss of young Daniel Harris, who was a young footballer that sadly lost his life right at the beginning of the year. And tonight, a very moving experience, the John Blow School from Collingham have been over to sing their Christmas carols, and they did it on behalf of the two youngsters that tragically died in that awful fire in Collingham at the weekend. And that family was very close to Collingham Cricket Club. On countless occasions, Tony and I, and particularly Tony, have spoken to our guests about their problems, and our guests have opened up about their problems. Nina Bradley, who's, you think on the face of it, got everything going for her, Commonwealth boxing champion, opened up about problems in her family. James Brinkat Smith, who used to be in the forces, told us about dark years he had when he came out of the forces, and some of the stories that we've heard from our guests have been absolutely moving, and they've found sport as their outlet. And of course, we all know the work that Beaumont House do, and we've talked lovingly and longingly about Warwick Lane. He never got to Beaumont House, I know, but the point is, so yes, these charities are part of Newark, sport is part of Newark, and there's no getting away from it. They're interwoven, Sarah.
Completely and absolutely. And I think we've talked about this before. When you talk about things like mental ill health, there's not a stereotypical kind of person that it affects. It does actually affect, well, we know the statistics, one in four people. And it will affect the most unlikely people, as you say. We all put a front on things. We all pretend life is great. And actually, sometimes it's far from that. And talking about, you know, sports people and people from the armed forces, you know, they are now talking more about it. It's vital that people do talk about their feelings and you know, what's going on in their life. And I think talking is quite cathartic, actually. And it is part of the recovery when somebody is really struggling with their mental health. The most important thing is to be open and to not be ashamed of it, really. So, you know, being on the show like this and talking about this subject matter is crucial, really, to reiterating the message that, you know, if you're struggling with your mental health, please talk to somebody about it before it's too late in some cases.
I mean, when people say, what has mental health got to do with sport? And you think about the great successful people in sport. 2003, Johnny Wilkinson kicking that drop goal that won the World Cup. He's racked with mental health issues, Johnny Wilkinson. And it came out as a fantastic article in the Sunday Telegraph just two weekends ago, that 62% of former rugby union players, former rugby union professionals, actually suffer from mental health issues. And the one person that everybody knows, Johnny Wilkinson, said he only felt he could be himself between the first whistle and the final whistle. And outside of that, life was pretty grim.
Well, I think it's a persona, and I think sports people are on a pedestal, they're on a platform, they're in their own kind of sporting bubble, aren't they? And when real life kicks in, and they've not got the crowds backing them and cheering them on and the adulation of all of their achievements, when they're back home and life is normal, then I think that's really when things do start to kick in. And you know, rugby players, football players, you know, I know football players obviously within the Newark Town remit that I've got as well, you know, and you know, they do suffer greatly with it. And actually we know that this year that Nottinghamshire FA are supporting Central Notts Mind as their charity of the year, so it's a vital link for sport and mental health.
This being the sports show, we can't be serious for too long. Rachel, you're very, very welcome here, but you didn't have to come dressed as an elf.
Well, I don't always walk around dressed as an elf.
Oh, right, although, it's not normal.
No. So, although it is December, so I suppose I could be forgiven.
That's
but
what she tells us.
I've been volunteering this evening at Newark's newest Santa's Grotto that's been happening since the Christmas lights switch on, actually, at the end of November, and we run right up until Sunday. So I've been volunteering there today. Hence the outfit.
Do you just do it locally?
Yes.
You're not a national elf?
No, I'm not a national elf, no. Very much local. It's a local Santa's Grotto. I'm a local elf. My services are only available here.
I bet the last few years at the Advertiser have been wonderful, haven't they? You know,
Tony.
Yeah, exactly. Ever since he left.
I couldn't possibly comment.
And of course, fundraising is the major side to it, because Sarah's going to tell us about mine in a moment, but the Newark Half Marathon chose the three Newark sort of charities.
Yes, yes, it did.
And that was absolutely fantastic. Is that fundraising fundamental to your existence?
Absolutely, it is fundamental, yes. We need to generate the funds that are required to continue to offer the services that we do. So that fundraising comes in various different ways. We have our corporate supporters, but we rely so heavily on people that undertake activities that raise money for the Children's Bereavement Centre. So we were one of the charities that benefited from Newark Half Marathon. We're one of the charities that are benefiting from the Santa's Grotto. We had some people that ran Newark Half Marathon for us. So they went away and they did their own Just Giving page and raised their own funds. So we are always looking for people to come to us with fundraising ideas. We'll support them with it. We'll help them set up a Just Giving page. So if somebody's got an idea of something they would like to do to raise money for the Children's Bereavement Centre,
very careful.
Can be sporty, might not be sporty. Then please do get in touch, and you know, we'll see where we go from there. But it's absolutely fundamental to allow the charity to continue. Yes.
In about 10 minutes, I'm going to. I can't keep it back anymore. What Vicky was telling me, what you and Vicky yeah. are going to be doing in 2019, because I know now Sarah is going to say, I want to do that. I want to be part of that, because that's the sort of young lady that she is. 10 minutes.
Not sure about that.
Before we get back to the ladies and this big charity announcement, we're going to catch up with Dave at Notfast, because Dave's been busy working all week with the Notfast 2018 facts and figures. So, Dave, we're all ears.
I have. Thank you, Mick. Evening. Yeah, so before we go into the 2018 roundup, I'll just cover off last week. So we had 28 club members over three different park runs. Nettie Stevens got a PB. Well done, Nettie. And over the weekend, there was the Newark Showground Christmas Challenge. Now, it's hosted by Adam Holland. Now, what it entails is laps around Newark Showground. Started on the Saturday, which was bitterly cold and horribly windy. Completing one lap, Kim Etherington-Bates, Peter Middleton and Claire Simmons. Completing two laps was Kira Green and Kerry Robinson. And for all my sins, myself, I completed eight laps. So that's just over a marathon distance in the weather on Saturday. On Sunday, one lap was Kim Etherington-Bates again and Claire Simmons. Two laps, Jill Folks, Madeline Combe and Cliff Robinson. Doing three laps was Kira Green. Four laps, Chris Redhead with his daughter Sophie, which was her first half marathon. And then doing five laps was Peter Middleton. And also on Sunday, Leon Leong was in Hong Kong for the Southern District Beach Run, 2.9 miles, and he completed in just over half an hour. So that's the roundup for last week, and I'm pretty much glad to see the the back of the weekend, Mick, in all honesty, given that weather on Saturday. Now on to 2018. So I've got some good stats for the overall. Now I've been going through quite a lot of the results over the past year. So just over the last year, from all competitive running for the members, the whole club has ran just over 31,000 kilometres, which, to put it into perspective, that's basically to Sydney and back. So it's a hell of a feat, given the amount of club members we've got to cover that distance. Now, that also includes 1,753 individual park runs. Now, we've got 160-odd members, so it works out roughly about 200 kilometres per member over the year. So it's not a figure to be snuffed at, you know, and we're, as a club, quite proud to have that amount of members and to be able to take part in competitive running with a very good show for the club at pretty much all events over the year. So it's quite something to be part of, Northfast.
It's fantastic. So to Sydney and back, I mean, that is just fantastic achievement, isn't it? When you add up all those figures, the amount of running that's been done out of Newark by not fast striders and Newark AC must be absolutely a phenomenal figure.
I could imagine, yeah. So just not fast alone, it's basically like running 78% of the circumference of the earth. Now I'm a sucker for stats and figures, but just to look at it written down, it's hell of a distance, Mick.
It's one heck of a distance. And what are you doing over Christmas? Are you taking part on the Newark Athletic Club's handicap on Boxing Day? Will you be there?
I will be far too hungover, if not drunk, to take part.
Wow.
It's really sensible to take part. Over Christmas, in all honesty, I'm not doing too much. What I wanted to get personally was 1,000 kilometres myself in 2018, and I'm about 20 kilometres off it, so I'll go for a short run between now and New Year, and then put the shoes away, and then start my training next year for the Newark Half Marathon, which obviously the entrants are open for the half marathon. We opened in December, so we're hopefully looking to get a lot of people sign up and looking forward and training for the Newark Half Marathon on the 11th of August.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Dave, we'll catch up with you again in the new year. Happy Christmas and new year to yourself, your family and everybody at the wonderful Army of Yellow, not fast.
Lovely.
Dave, enjoy. We'll catch you up in the new year.
Lovely. Thank you, mate.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Dave Farge there with the Not Fast Report, and they've ran all the way to Sydney, Australia, and back. That's a long way. I'm not sure that Rachel's going to do that for a big charity, event, but we'll find out in a minute exactly what she's going to do. But first of all, our final show of the year is tomorrow night, and our last studio guest of 2018 is Megan Smash It Williams, one of our regulars, one of our favourites. And Megan's going to be talking about what she's been up to in 2018 and looking forward to Chad Sugden fighting on Friday night. And don't forget, all our shows are podcasts. Simply go to the Radio Newark website, menu, podcasts, sport, and choose between, I think, 312 of them that's on there now. And if you've got 5 minutes, go to our Facebook page and have a listen to the wonderful John Blow School singing in tribute to their dear departed friends in the tragic fire at the weekend. It moved everybody to tears.
This is Radio Newark Sport.
If it's our final show tomorrow night, can we bring games in?
What sort of games would you like to play, Mr. Smith? Bearing in mind there's two ladies in here.
Twister.
Twister?
Oh, yeah.
Your shape, playing Twister.
Well, we've got all this room, haven't we?
I wonder if I can make a Twister big enough for you to play.
Anyway, I've got a question for you.
Be the first.
In 2011, how many lighthouses were there on Britain's coast?
There's no manned lighthouses because it's all automatic. No. Are we talking about Scotland? Because the lighthouses in Scotland are run by a different organisation to the lighthouses in England.
The whole of Britain's coastline.
I would... Unmanned ones on the Edgeham Piers, are you talking about them?
Oh, yeah.
300?
Four. 24 out. 276.
It's not bad then, is
it's
it?
It's not bad at all. Yeah.
You probably counted Republic of Ireland, I didn't.
No, no, it's just, you know, it was on the Escape to the Country. I won't doubt it, no.
do you know what today is the 37th anniversary of?
No.
There you go.
Is it your 100th birthday?
No, it's... No, I'm being serious.
No?
It's the 37th anniversary of the Penlee lifeboat disaster.
Really?
Today, which my uncle was on the Lizard lifeboat that spent best part of 24 hours out... searching for their friends.
All right, yeah.
Mm. Yes, that was a long 24 hours at home next to a telephone, but it was even longer for Uncle Henry.
Yeah.
But it's the 37th anniversary of it today.
Because we were only talking about that in the car park the night.
Sad.
Yeah.
Sad.
Exactly.
Sad times. Anyway, let's move on quickly. Rachel, Vicky was most enthusiastic last night, the fact that we've teamed up with the Children's Bereavement Centre.
Yeah.
B, that you're involved. And C, you're actually doing something that she's wanted to do forever.
Is that right? What is the something? I'm intrigued. I'm as intrigued as all your listeners to find this out.
Amazingly enough, you're both going to jump out of an aeroplane.
Yes, well, we are organising a skydive at Langer later this year in aid of the Children's Bereavement Centre. So, as I'll be working with Radio Newark next year, I asked Vicky if she would care to be one of the people that would like to get sponsored and join in. So, by the sounds of it, she's obviously looking forward to it and has agreed to get involved.
Oh, she's buzzing.
Brilliant.
Absolutely buzzing. And I'd hate to leave Mrs. Robinson out of all this.
Oh, please do. Please do leave me well out of this. Not a chance.
Oh,
in hell.
I've never seen her back down from anything.
Oh, my God. I am terrified of heights. I don't know how I'd cope with that, actually.
We was with the grandchildren when... I don't watch that. I'm a celebrity thing. But they jumped out of a plane at the beginning of that.
Yeah, they did, yes.
And the two children thought it was absolutely fantastic. And when I tell them that Vicky and a new friend are going to do it, they'll have to bring them down from Newcastle to go. And you'll probably hear you both screaming from 5,000 feet or whatever.
I've actually done a skydive before.
You've done
actually
one.
Yes, it was in aid of Bowman House. It was quite a few years ago now, and it is one of the most amazing experiences, I have to say. So
the noise from these celebrities when they jumped out of the plane,
yes,
is that false or is it just
The moment where you are sat on the side of an aeroplane with nothing underneath your feet, with somebody ready to literally jump out of the plane with you strapped to the front of them, is somewhat nerve-wracking, I have to say. So yes, the screams are genuine, I would say. It is very fast, it's very noisy, but once the free-fall bit is over and the parachute opens, it is one of the most magical experiences. It truly is. So if anybody is up for a challenge, would like to raise some money for a fantastic local charity, then please do get in touch with me, and we'll be organising that jump in June later this year from Langer Airfield.
No, Mr. Smith, you can't do it. They're all right.
No, no.
They have weight restrictions.
No, what about the other one I was going to say?
Matt?
No. The
walk time. Yeah, I'll tell you.
Wing walking.
I have to work with him, no. You know.
Last night, Vicky was saying that it's not only the actual sort of diving out of a plane, and apparently you've got the parachute, so don't worry. We organised it so that Vicky hasn't. But
can you actually make sure...
It is a tandem jump, if I may say. You are with somebody who is experienced in parachute jumping.
Can we make sure, please, for the sake of Radio Newark and the Children's Bereavement Centre, it's not just the two of you that's tied together?
No, it isn't. It is a tandem jump with somebody who knows what they're doing.
Right.
So, yes, we will not be leaping out of a plane together. That would not be a good idea. Yes.
But she was also mentioning another challenge.
This was a challenge that we talked about the possibility of maybe doing. So it's not anything that's set in stone as far as I'm aware, unless Vicky's gone off and arranged something since we met.
This is the walking on coals.
Fire walking. Yes,
fire walking.
There was lots of things talked about in the meeting. So we talked about
challenges in general. For me, anything that steers away from actually running. People that know me well know that that is not my strength in any way. So we talked about a whole host of different things. So all I would say is watch this space for the course of the next 12 months.
How do you fancy firewalking, Sarah?
Sounds hideous as well, actually. Listen, I'll eat fish eyes and camels, you know what. That's my limit. I'm not doing anything like that. Sounds horrendous. Walking on coals, we'll jumping out of planes,
Matt's got a good outlet for, he knows the, he does the, somebody in the other side of Nottinghamshire does crinkly critters or something.
I can do that. I can do that.
And he does.
Really? I'll do that.
He had us eating locusts last Christmas.
Set that up in the studio. I'm happy to do a Bush Tucker trial. Right. Yes.
Right.
No problem.
Okay. Make a note of that one, Tony.
Sponsored
in case I forget.
Bush Tucker trial. Right. Okay.
Well, are you up for that one as well?
No, maybe not so much that one. So, yeah.
See,
maybe
I can't believe it. So, it's unbelievable. And wing walking as well. I can't wait for 2019 to get behind you two in that and get some seriously get some funds in for the children's ring.
That's the point of it.
Seriously,
yeah.
Look at you two going up there.
Yeah, it is about thinking of ideas that will get people involved and get them raising some funds for us. But so watch this space.
Well, we can make things happen, and it most certainly will happen. Let me get serious again for 5 minutes, though, please, because we talked about Newark Mind. It closed last year, and there was a great, probably a little bit too late, the whole of Newark got behind it to get it back up and running again. Sarah, where are we?
Okay, so where we're at. So yes, very sadly, after 30-odd years in the town, Newark Mind did officially close the back end of the summer, so the end of August, and basically all the services stopped pretty immediately. The staff were made redundant. However, money did still keep trickling in, and obviously when the closure was taking place, the half marathon was taking place, and as a charity, Newark Mind actually got from the half marathon just about £3,000, which was incredible. All the three charities got that kind of money each, so that was wonderful. And yeah, the local people still were desperately trying to fundraise, but I think we'd got to such a point where we needed significant funding to keep going. Newark Mind was never or as big as the Children's Bereavement Centre or even Bowman House. We didn't ever need to raise quite as much as those charities, but we still needed tens of thousands to actually operate. So the decision was taken to close. There was talk that the services would be reignited in October of this year, following a merger with Bassett Law Mind, Newark Mind and Mansfield Mind to create Central Notts Mind. October's obviously been and gone, and it's likely now that services will return to Newark in January 2019. So that's not long to wait, and there are processes in place to get the charity running. It won't be called Newark Mind. It will be part of the Central Notts Mind umbrella. But there will be certain facilities running out of the Aura Business Centre, actually opposite Castle House. I think it's Manners Road down there. So there are plans in place, and there has been fundraising that has continued and will be used in Newark. And of course, we were Charity of the Year for probably about six organisations, of which money will come to fruition in January. And we are talking thousands. Yes. So Bacavor have pledged £8,000, wow, which is brilliant. The RPS group, about £5,000. Chatterton Solicitors, again, probably similar amounts. So it's those kind of amounts that will actually contribute to, you know, the charity being successful like it once was. So again, watch this space. It's looking promising for the new year.
Has Sarah Robinson moved on to Pastures New, or?
Well, Sarah Robinson was only ever at Newark Mind for one day a week, actually, as fundraiser, much the same as Rachel.
Yes, but you are the face of Newark Mind.
Well, I still am a bit, aren't I, even though I'm not kind of connected anymore. But I much the same as a lot of people now, I'm very, very interested in mental health. It's a fascinating subject. As I say, it's in us all. We've all got physical health, therefore we've all got mental health. Yes. And it is a truly fascinating and interesting condition, that we do need to know more about, really. So who knows? I was fortunate in that I had another job that ran alongside my job at Newark Mind. My colleagues weren't so looking, as I say. Some of those folk are still, still looking for work, because it was very specialised what they did. You know, being a counsellor and, sort of talking therapies, it's a very specialist kind of job. So hopefully, fingers crossed, things will come good in the new year for the charity.
Certainly, Rachel, I think in 2018 there's been a major breakthrough in people's ability to talk about their problems. Sarah alluded to that, Tony alluded to it, particularly with mine. From your sphere, when you're dealing with children,
yes,
it's got to be doubly difficult to actually talk.
Indeed. I mean, I'm not a member of the clinical team, and the members of staff that do work directly with the children on a one-to-one basis are very skilled in that area. And as Sarah's already said, it's a very specialist area. But it is so, so important. The charity, we offer early intervention support, actually, for children and young people. So we focus on 3 to 18-year-olds. And the people who are experiencing life-changing trauma due to the death or terminal illness of someone they love. So this is a subject that, as you've said, people are much more open to talk about as well. And we are there to help. We're early intervention, so it's crucial that, you know, if anybody is experiencing difficulties, that they do get in touch with us, and that's what we're there for. But the members of the clinical team that work on a one-to-one basis with these children and young people.
We are a sports show, as I keep saying, and people are probably sitting at the other end listening to this show and thinking, why are they not talking sport? But Tony has told us in so many times that Newark Sport is a family, and all families have good times and bad times, and when they have bad times, it's people like yourselves that we turn to. And that's why we're talking to you tonight, because you're part of the family. The other side of looking at it is sport can be a fantastic release for youngsters, for adults. How important is sport and the outlet of sport to what you both do?
Well, you get a good feeling from it, don't you? We all know when we've done a little bit of exercise, your adrenaline's pumping, you feel good about things, and the world just kind of feels a better place if you've achieved something.
You know,
if you've done a bit of running, or you've been in a football match, it just gives you that kind of buzz, I think, doesn't it? And it is an outlet, and it's a release, and it is proven that physical activity is brilliant for your mental health. That's facts. That is facts.
And with the youngsters, and of course youngsters love their sport, I suppose if you are talking to youngsters, it's a break in to talk to them, isn't it?
Well, it's about engaging with people as well, isn't it? And sport for young people and sports people, and it's aspirational. It gives them something to focus on. So as we've said, it's a proven fact that it does help in terms of mental health. So, it's a positive thing and should be encouraged, and it's a good thing that sport is involved, and particularly for young people, as you've said. It's something that they can aspire to and get involved in, and gives them a focus as well, which I think is really important.
Have you learnt yet not to get emotionally involved, or has that got to come?
Well, maybe that will come. As I say, I don't work directly with the families and the children. That is a very specialist area, and my role is to raise the funds. But I do see the people that come into the centre. It's a lovely, warm and welcoming place. And I'm sure anybody who's actually been to the Children's Bereavement Centre would echo my sentiment with that. I see the children and the families, and I've been able to speak to some of them. We had our candlelight service a couple of weeks ago, and I spoke to some of our service users there as well. And they've to hear their stories and how they've benefited
from the services that we provide at the Children's Bereavement Centre actually only makes me even more determined to raise the
and
funds
proud,
that we need
quite rightly,
to continue
so.
The charity's good work. So I'm aware of how important my role is, and I'm absolutely determined to continue the good work that Kaz has done while she was there, actually. So, I'm very, very proud, actually, of the role that I've got.
We're good at not getting emotionally involved, aren't we?
Oh, God, yeah.
We're very good at that,
aren't
we?
Hard as nails.
Yeah, hard as nails, us two. We don't get emotional about anything, do we?
No.
No. Yeah, okay. you've took the mantle, really, of the mental health issues on this show.
Hmm.
And I think if you look back at 2018 and say, you know, what's the achievements nationally, locally, and even down to this little show? People talk a lot more now, don't they?
Yeah, it used to be such a taboo subject. Pull yourself together. What's up with your man? You know, and the wonderful thing about the modern world, there's a lot of bad things about the modern world, but the great thing about the modern world is people are now prepared to say, yeah, I get anxiety attacks. Yeah, I mean, I've got a few sort of mental sort of health issues, you know, and people don't go, oh, you wuss, what's up with you? And basically, it's so refreshing that people can talk about it. I mean, I struggled. I had a lot of stress in the jobs that I've had. And so I found that at the end of a working day, I'd go for a 5K run, a 3-mile run, for our older listeners, Mick. And it's basically, you know, the endorphins and the adrenaline you get from that. And then you get out of the shower and you go, wow, you've forgotten about the day. And then my knees became basically not up to it, and so I turned to alcohol. And then eventually the alcohol wasn't working, it wasn't curing anything. And so 10 days before my first grandchild was born, I decided to give up alcohol. And today's day 70, where I've not touched a drop. And all the mental problems and all the mental issues of anxiety and sort of, not depression, but sort of, all my difficulties have gone, and I now look forward to each day because it's just a new day and a new sort of adventure. And it's just through, in my case, giving up booze. But if somebody can find something that changes their life dramatically, because I had a 42-year bender, and if it changes their life dramatically, then it can only be for the better. And people like Mind and all the other sort of charities that are talking about this. This is very much part of sport, trust me.
Break conversation, believe it or not, was backpacking, and all the ladies of it's backpacking time here. My little grandson was in Morrison's in Whitley Bay backpacking on Sunday afternoon and fully enjoyed it, and apparently you too fully enjoyed it.
Well, it's a fantastic way to get into the community. I was doing it for Newark Town Football Club, and yeah, the kids love it. They're doing it for an hour here, there, and whatever. As long as they know to put the bread and eggs on top, we're good to go, you know?
Sure Finley would have got that bit right.
It is amazing, actually. You get to talk to people, and as I've said, I haven't been at the charity very long, but people are so amazingly generous, in my experience. So even if they don't want help with their backpacking, if they prefer to do it themselves, they donate anyway.
They do. Yeah.
They'll talk to you about the charity. But people are just so kind and so giving. And I thoroughly enjoyed my time actually backpacking that I've done recently.
Tony, we've only got 10 minutes, so he hasn't got time, but Tony would talk at length of the generosity of people of Newark. And especially when times are hard for whatever reason, the way that people of Newark bond together.
Come together. Mm-hmm.
To help whoever needs help. I'm sure it's not unique. It's just the best.
Yeah, I mean, the community is fantastic. And to say, you know, we hear on the news and austerity and there's no money and all that kind of, every little bit actually helps.
It does, yes.
You know, however small a donation is, collectively it actually does mean a lot. And you know, at the end of the day, we can't get away from it. All of the charities in Newark, and we're talking about probably the three major charities, but there's an awful lot more charities in this town that probably don't get, you know, always the platform that we have had, and every single one needs the money to keep it going. So yeah, Newark, fantastic community spirit as always, and so, you know, we thank you, all the listeners.
How many people are coming up to you and said, well, you're at the Advertiser. What are you doing here?
Well, word gets around pretty quickly around Newark as well, that, actually. To be fair, I think most people know, but... as I just said, I think there are many charities and they're all working tremendously hard to raise those all important funds. I was at the Christmas light switch on at the end of November and, you know, that's a great opportunity. There's lots of charity stalls there and everyone was doing their own thing. The marketplace was absolutely packed solid just before the fireworks went off and the lights went on. And, you know, the people of Newark... turned out they were at the charity stores, they were supporting the charities, and as we said, it's everything added together. It doesn't matter how much it is, you know, whether it's 50 pence in the bucket or 10 pence, collectively over the course of the day when you're doing something like backpacking, that really adds up and really makes a difference. And it just allows us to go on and offer the services, whichever charity it is. It's really so important. And as we've said, thank you very much for all your support.
17 years ago, a much-loved footballer of this parish died in a car crash, Dave Self, and we had an auction of items that were donated from football clubs and all over the place. 4 days after Christmas, we had an auction up at Simo's, but Flowserve, and I was the auctioneer. And 4 days after Christmas, when everybody is skint, we raised upwards of £3,000. From the people that were just there at Flowserve bidding against each other for a laugh. And I got on the microphone and said, if anybody ever knocks Newark to you, remember this day. That's proper Newark. That's what we stand for in this town.
So we know already a couple of things that you're going to bring to the bereavement centre next year. We're joining up with you, so we're going to be seeing an awful lot of you in 2019. The highlight obviously is jumping out of a jumbo jet at 30,000 feet.
Well, it's not a jumbo jet, but yes.
I know we can arrange anything.
You know, we haven't finished yet, don't worry about that. So we look forward to that. But the Children's Bereavement Centre, it's so important to Newark. Just make sure it's still with us and it's still flourishing, because that's your job for 2019.
Well, one thing I can promise you is that I will do my very best to make sure that that happens. So it isn't just me. We have some fantastic volunteers that we rely on really heavily. We can't do what we do without them. They give their time voluntary. They come along, they help us out at the centre. They come along to events. So, you know, so that's really important as well. But we've got lots of things planned for next year. We're on a sports programme for those of you that are sporty. We're going to be looking for runners for the Newark Half Marathon. We're going to be involved in the Ocarno Robin Hood Half Marathon in Nottingham as well. So we've got places in that. We're going to be organising a swimathon later this year as well. So, you know, if anybody or your sporty people that are out there, if they'd like to get involved and raise some money for a really good cause, then please do get in touch with me at the Children's Bereavement Centre.
We'll have to introduce you to our good friends at Not Fast and Striders.
Lovely, thank you very much.
And make sure that we can get a contact there. Sarah, we're waiting for mine to come back. It looks like it is going to come back. Mm-hmm. You've got to make a decision, I suppose, to where you are on this, but being as you are the face of mine, it's, you've got to be involved somewhere. The main thing is, first of all, to get it back and then rebuild people's confidence in it.
Absolutely, yeah. The charity needs to re-establish itself, and I have no fear that it will do that. But it obviously is like a business. It will need, you know, a little bit of time to sort of get back and running. But, you know, the chief executive, Nick Roberts, she's currently based in Bassett Law. She used to run Newark Mind, actually. She's going to be overseeing all of the operation, actually. So that'll be, you know, her project for the year. But it's very promising. But I just actually wanted to say, it's a few days before Christmas, and actually let's all remember that Christmas is not always that joyous for some people. Families fall out, people feel low and depressed. You know, just look at your neighbour, look at your colleague, and if, you know, things aren't quite right, just chat to them, check they're all right, because as I say, Christmas is a hard time when you're struggling, and we need to remember that, and we need to sort of look out for everybody around us in our circle. So, you know, keep talking, everybody, and, you know, have a wonderful, wonderful Christmas.
And Christmas is a hard time, and we especially think of our good friends in Collingham at the moment, and what the children of Collingham are going through and must be thinking.
Yes, it's a very difficult time for them. Yes.
It really is absolutely shocking. Catherine hasn't made it. We know she's had a bit of a disaster, but hopefully everything's going to be all right.
She's here in spirit. I know if she's charging back from QMC, she'll have us on the radio. And, she'll be listening to us, I'm sure.
And knowing this programme, it's not going to be long before all three of you are reunited. We'll even get Lucy in to try and keep him under control.
Been trying 33 years.
Ladies, have a great Christmas.
Thank you
for coming in. We wish all the charities, all three of the charities, the best of luck. And we're going to monitor them because, as I keep saying, they are part of the Newark family. They're part of the Newark sporting family. And they're so, so important to us. Mr. Smith, one more show to go in 2018. And then you can
one more sleep.
And then you can put your feet up. It's fitting, though, we end it with one of your favourite young ladies.
Yeah, but if she doesn't bring those T-shirts in, she's not coming in.
She's a young lady that, at 15 years old, gave us Somebody Died in the Ring in Leeds at a kickboxing competition, and the 15-year-old Megan Williams spoke for very close on for 15 minutes without any interruptions whatsoever, why she loved her sport so much, and how to react when that sort of thing happened. And needless to say, me and him was in tears.
But there you go. Just for a change.
That doesn't take an awful lot, as you know. But so Megan's going to come in tomorrow night and finish off 2018 for us, which I'm looking forward to. We'll end with a reminder of the news where we started, that Flow Serve have been drawn at home against Carlton Town in the last 16 of the Not Senior Cup. Win this one and they're seeded for next year. Carlton Town play in the Evo Stick East Divisions, which by my calculations is two leagues above where Flow Serve play at the moment. They're near the bottom, they're not having the greatest of seasons. Hey ho, who knows?
So it all feels, it's virtually a bye.
Flow Serve have got nothing to lose. Carlton's got everything to lose, and that's what football matches are made of. But at the end of the day, it's only a football match. So from Rachel, from Sarah, from In Spirit, Catherine, from his lordship here, we're all going to leave you now in the most capable hands of the wonderful Mr. Doug Hall, the man that knows everything there is to know about music. And if he played Pop Master, he wouldn't get 39, he would get 40.